WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hi, I'm Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and today, context in a musical. The final paragraph of Andrew Jackson's inaugural address cites a diffidence, which he said, quote, induces me to hope for instruction and aid from the coordinate branches of the government and for the indulgence and support of my fellow citizens generally. That's one way to put it. Here's another.
One, two, three, four.
Populism, yeah, yeah. Populism.
Bloody, bloody Andrew Jackson just opened to rave reviews. I saw it. I didn't think it was nearly as thought-provoking as some of the critics did, but it did have a lot of energy. I appreciate the update because in real life, Andrew Jackson used words like firm reliance and goodness from the power whose providence mercifully protected our national infancy. So it's kind of nice to talk in the vernacular. And joining us to talk about bloody, bloody Andrew Jackson and to put it in context is John Meacham of Newsweek, who we just heard from. Thanks again, John.
Thank you.
And also from Time Out New York, their theater critic, Adam Feldman.
Hello.
Adam, start us off. What was your take on it? How many thumbs did you put up or stars did you give it?
It's got both of my thumbs. Nice. I think the show works really well. It isn't, you know, it has been slightly overpraised or missold just because it isn't a deep show. It isn't trying to be a deep show. But it does have a lot of layers going on in the humor and in the political analysis. A lot of thin layers. So it's sort of like a baklava. But it's tasty that way.
And flaky, too.
And flaky.
And nutty.
And it means to be. And nutty and sweet. And it raises a lot of difficult questions, ultimately, about the operating costs of America.
John Meacham, before I hear your review, what was your mindset going in? Because you wrote this great biography of Andrew Jackson. You helped rehabilitate his image. So before you even went in, what were you thinking about how you're going to think about the musical?
Well, just briefly, Andrew Jackson would say, who you calling a baklava?
then he'd shoot you.
Yeah, precisely. I went in deeply skeptical. I had actually avoided it when it was off-Broadway because I had just finished the book and I was sort of Jacksoned out, and actually had a chance to see it in rehearsal about a month ago. And I was looking for, I was trying not to be pedantic. You know, whenever you let historians anywhere near something like this, you know, Oliver Stoneism takes over and, you know, you start picking it apart.
Right.
So I was trying to resist that urge. I thought it worked really well. I mean, first of all, anytime you can dramatize Martin Van Buren, you just got to, you know, you got to support that.
Yeah, you got to go for that one. Yeah.
For God's sake, who else is going to do that? I thought Ben Walker's performance was really standout. I just thought I think he's got a great future. And
he played Andrew Jackson with all the charisma of Mick Jagger and Andrew Jackson himself, I think.
Oh, Jackson would have loved to have looked like Ben Walker. so he was. And, you know, as you watch it, you know, you can't help but go through, oh, my God, there's some John Edwards. There's, you know, he's strutting around. There's George W. Bush. There are Clintonian elements. There's Obama with the swooning crowd. There's Sarah Palin to some extent. It resonates and resonates. And my view, as somebody who spent 5 or 6 years deep in Jacksonian America, the reason it resonates is because Jackson himself and his era is so much like ours, and we find things fascinating that remind us of ourselves. And I think people will go to this, and it's like a little bit of C-SPAN and a little bit of emo rock.
Now, I think there was in the entire performance one mention of the National Bank, which was nothing less than his, you know, defining domestic issues. So do you give him a passing grade on the history, or did you essentially give him a mulligan and just thought they got the feelings and emotions right, John?
I think they got the feel. I think that's well put. My pedantic point is they, in the production I saw, they gave him a little bit of an out on the Native American question by having his parents murdered by Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And that would turn it into a revenge drama, his treatment of Indians. That never happened. So in a weird way, the most ahistorical thing they did helped Jackson. They gave him too much of a pass on slavery. He was a devoted slaveholder, slave trader, thwarted abolition. But he did fundamentally change the democratic calculus in the country. Remember, he was the first president not to be from Virginia or Massachusetts aristocracy. He was the first truly self-made man. This is a guy who never spent more than a couple of months in a formal school setting. And I think it's quite possible that the country's political development would have rolled on more toward an elite Republican lowercase r track than a Democratic one, lowercase d, without Jackson. And they captured that with all its triumphs and its tragedies
Before you talk, tell us if you saw it in the off-Broadway production and how
I did
the
see
themes
it.
That it was evoking.
I did see it off-Broadway. I'd also seen an earlier version. But I think it's a little bit... It's cagey about the way the show is cagey about the way that it handles the Indian history. it does have a scene in which Jackson's parents are murdered by Indian arrows, but then in the same scene and later, it refers to them as having died of cholera. So it's actually a complicated portrayal of what's happening. I think my interpretation is that what we're seeing for much of the first half of the play is the world as Andrew Jackson perceives it, or as the show means for us to get into Andrew Jackson's headspace. So even though the Indians didn't actually murder his parents, he feels that way about them. And similarly, the way that the Washington elites are portrayed as kind of outrageous, effeminate Elizabethan fops is very much in Andrew Jackson's mindset and not necessarily in the mindset of history. But, you know, it is funny that it taps into a lot of the things that are happening today, a lot of the energies. You were just saying before that feeling of we need to take the country back, and there's actually a line in the show, it's time to take our land back from the Indians. And other European countries.
That's the actual line, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, and some Native American groups have gotten angry. Like, what do they mean, take the land back from the Indians? It was our land to begin with. But that is, of course, the joke. That sometimes this rage, this need and this greed become completely nonsensical in the context of a popular movement.
It very much is willing to show its protagonist as wrong on occasion.
Oh, completely. And
like
by
this,
the end
yeah.
of the play, I think really it comes down against Jackson in his treatment of the Indians. I mean, the final title, I don't want to ruin much about the show, but the tone of the show takes a turn about halfway through and really addresses in a more or less serious way the blood that Jackson has on his hands for the subsequent Trail of Tears.
You know, John, you can fill me in on this, but what I thought was ahistorical when I went to look it up was they had a Native American who they portrayed as having a close personal relationship with Jackson as being an advisor or a member of the cabinet, and I don't think anything like that ever happened, did it?
No. He did adopt an orphan, and that's portrayed as someone who'd been orphaned by Jackson's own troops, and who was brought to the Hermitage. But let me quickly say about the question of culpability and guilt. One of the important things, and I certainly took this away from the show, and I'd love to hear if y'all did, is this show, in the same way historically the era could be called, it's bloody, bloody American people as much as it is bloody, bloody Andrew Jackson. We have the blood on our hands. Jackson was the embodiment of it. He was a driver of the drama. But the drama of Indian removal and slavery, the twin tragedies of the American experience, are cases, I believe, of collective guilt. The American people, the American political system, the FOPs, as you brilliantly put it, everybody was complicit in this. And I think the reason the show works is because we look at this and we see ourselves. And Jackson is an outsized, you know, wonderfully drawn character. But he was executing the will of many, many Americans. And he was on the extreme edge of the mainstream on these issues. But he was in the mainstream of the time. And in a weird way, that's more tragic.
Well, I completely agree with that analysis. I think that, you know, we're not meant to be taking this Andrew Jackson as a literal depiction of Andrew Jackson, the historical figure. He is there to represent all of us and our culpability in the ravages of history. There's a scene, a small scene, in the middle of the play where you have two kind of liberal-seeming, middle-class, possible NPR listener types who are living
in... No tote bags were depicted, but yes, I know what you mean.
But they're, you know, and they are living in Florida, and they're sort of a modern couple they're talking about. And so they talk about in modern ways. Oh, of course we don't agree with what happened here, and we feel really bad about it. But on the other hand, you know, it's a lovely place to live. And that is sort of where we all are in the country. The Indian... bloodbath. It's to some extent a genocide that we have allowed ourselves to become okay with, in a way we don't like to address it, because to address it honestly would be to recognize that we're on land that never, you know, that wasn't ours to begin with. I think that this play tries to use its humor as a way of getting there. It tries to prod us into thinking differently about ourselves and our roles in. Some of the bad things that have happened in American history.
It should be pointed out that this is not just a rock musical, it's an emo rock musical, and that's something very specific. Probably the first emo rock musical on Broadway. So a lot of angst, a lot of internal Jackson not really realizing what governing by the people's will meant. Now, in real life, John, was Jackson that surprised that that if you are a populist that you're going to open yourself up to a lot of vagaries?
No, he was, in fact, one of the things that dramatically works, I think, really well in the show, which is not historically true, is it has Jackson as a child. Jackson is a childish figure throughout.
Right.
There are a lot of temper tantrums.
Right.
In
a teenager, maybe, an emotional, mascara-smeared teenager, yeah.
That's right. And that is not true. One of the things about Jackson, historically, which I think is admirable, is he was orphaned. His father died before he was born. His mother died caring for Revolutionary War soldiers. His brothers died in the Revolution. He was a prisoner of war when he was 14 years old. And he saw his country as the family. He referred to America as one great family. And one of the reasons, and he doesn't get much credit for this in the production, but I think his singular achievement was staring down South Carolina in an early battle over the sovereignty of the Union. It's possible we could have had a civil war 30 years before we had the actual one. My personal view is that gave us 30 extra years to form stronger mystic cords of memory, in Lincoln's phrase.
All right, John, I'm sorry, but we do have to leave it there.
Yep.
It's excellent to have you on. John Meacham is the co-host of Need to Know on PBS and author of American Lion, Andrew Jackson in the White House. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
And Adam Feldman is the theater critic at Time Out New York. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
And I am Mike Pesca, in for Brian Lehrer. And thank you all very much for listening.